Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we're going to be studying and continuing our study of the Gospel of John. This book, I have pointed out, is a very important book because it sets forth two important truths that we need to understand. First of all, the truth of who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he indeed the divine Son of God? Was he simply a great man, a great teacher, a great leader? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Gospel of John very clearly sets forth this truth. And then the second truth it sets forth is, what is God's means of salvation? Now I want to say this very, very respectfully to all of you. Some of you may be very religious. You may have grown up in religion. You may be very faithful in church attendance, in observing all of the various ordinances of your church, and of all the various rules of your church and so forth. But as far as God is concerned, you may still be lost in your sins. Because the Gospel of John and other books in the New Testament clearly teach that Jesus is the only means of salvation. Now this means that if you're depending upon anyone else or anything else to help save you from your sins other than the Lord Jesus, you are not saved. You're not going to heaven. It is not Jesus plus some other means that you might use, either your church or something in your church or some other person. It's not something else plus the Lord Jesus. It is Jesus alone that gives you your salvation. And this is a truth you must understand. And the Gospel of John brings this truth out again and again very, very clearly. John 14:6, for instance, which we'll come to much later in this study, has this to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, listen to the words of the Gospel of John. Listen to its teachings and trust the Lord Jesus. Come to him alone as a lost sinner. Confess your sins to him and ask him to come into your heart and save you from your sins. He will save you if you come to him in the proper manner. And so put aside everything you've ever depended upon and come to Jesus and Jesus alone. Now let's continue our study of the background of this book. We began this in the last lesson, and I want to continue this study. In the last lesson, we studied the political background and why this was very important in the time of Christ. The fact that they were under the Roman domination, the domination of foreign nations in the time of Christ, and why this was so important for them to understand that Jesus would not yet be the ruling king. He first of all was to be the suffering Savior, and this is brought out clearly in the Gospel of John, and it has to do with our study. I also want to note today the rise of some of the sects of the Jews, and this is very important for us to understand. First of all, the captivity of Israel under the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and others brought the rise of people called the scribes. Now, these scribes were righteous men. That is, in the time when they arose, they were righteous people. And they sincerely desired that Israel would return to the Old Testament laws, the Old Testament law of Moses. And so these scribes dedicated their entire lives to translating and interpreting and writing down and copying the Old Testament scriptures. And they were dedicated to this. They were very spiritual men dedicated to this purpose. They were known as the scholars of their day. In other words, people looked to the scribes for true interpretations of the Old Testament scriptures and for the exact text of these scriptures. And so these texts were preserved, they were copied, they were in every way used by these scribes to teach the people. Now, when they came to the time of Christ, the scribes no longer were as spiritual as they had been in the old days. In other words, it started out as a very righteous sect of the Jews, and they were very, very spiritual men. But in the time of the Lord Jesus, they failed to heed the warnings of their own Old Testament scriptures. And they failed to heed the warnings that these scriptures were teaching them that someday the suffering Savior would come. They were to receive him. They were to welcome him. He was to be the one who would deliver them from their sinful condition, from their lost condition. And they failed to heed these warnings and these very important teachings of the Old Testament. Even though they were skilled in Old Testament knowledge, they failed to heed the warnings, or perhaps they did not even understand them. This was something that Satan blinded them to. So in the time of Christ, not only the other sects of the Jews, but the scribes themselves became the bitter opponents of the Lord Jesus. No matter how many miracles he performed, no matter what he did before them, they became his bitter enemies, and they, together with the other sects of the Jews, helped to bring him to trial and to crucifixion. And so this organization, the scribes, which started out as a very righteous group, men totally dedicated to God, became corrupted by their own knowledge, perhaps, by their own pride, and they turned against the Lord Jesus. Now, the sects that I mentioned would be the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And these were also two very important groups that had started out righteously before God. When the Jews came out of the Persian captivity and they came to the time of the Greeks, there was great turning against God by many of these Jews, even the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah and others. In the time of Malachi, already they had turned against the truth. They were no longer as spiritual as they had been when they came out of Persia and came out under Ezra and Nehemiah. And now there needed to be revival among them. And so especially the sect of the Pharisees grew up to correct them. In other words, this was a very righteous sect. It was a group of righteous men who decided with all their hearts, they were going to go back to the law of Moses. They were going to follow that law of Moses with all their hearts, and they were going to devote themselves to teaching the people and bringing them back to the law of Moses. And so they started out with very righteous intentions. They certainly knew the truth of the scriptures. Perhaps they'd been taught by the scribes, and they started out with very righteous intentions, intending to bring the people back to the truth of the Word of God. Now, we understand, of course, that we today are not under the law. If you have any questions about this, I don't want to get into this subject today, but if you have any questions, I suggest you study Romans 3 through 7 and the entire book of Galatians. It teaches us very clearly that we're not under the law of Moses. But in those days, they were under the law of Moses. And so they were right in bringing the people back to strict observance of the law of Moses. Again, like the scribes, in the time of Christ, the Pharisees had been corrupted. You find this especially revealed by the Lord in Matthew chapter 23, where the Lord Jesus condemns them for their hypocrisy and their falseness in their worship and in their falseness in their appearance. The way they conducted themselves, everything had been corrupted. But in the beginning, this was a very righteous group. And certainly we commend them in the beginning for the stand they took for God and His Word. But in the time of Christ, these, together with the scribes and the Sadducees, became the bitter opponents of the Lord. They turned against Him in every possible way. They absolutely hated Him, and they wanted to tear down any ministry that the Lord Jesus might have. So the reason I've given you some background of these sects is that you might understand where did they come from and what was their original purpose and how had they been corrupted. Why would they oppose the Lord Jesus so bitterly? Why would they hate Him? Why would they bring false accusations against Him and bring Him to trial before Pilate and then cause His crucifixion? Well, it was because simply that this is the way corruption comes sometimes in well-meaning groups who start out well but then turn against the very truth they have espoused in the beginning. So in the beginning, they were espousing the truth that we will live righteously, we will walk before the Lord in a holy manner, we will set a good example in our hearts, and in the way we conduct ourselves, we will be everything God wants us to be. And it was from that stand that they departed. And so in the time of Christ, they had almost completely departed from holiness, from righteousness. They were simply putting on a good front, we would say in English. And so these were the sects of the Jews at the time. Now, one other thing I want to touch on before I finish this message. I want to touch on the timing of the coming of the Lord. In the book of Galatians, we read these words, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son." In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Now you think back to the time of Adam, when the promise was first given that someday someone would come who would bruise Satan, who would harm Satan, and who would oppose him and defeat him. And then you go through the time of Abraham when the promises were given, the time of Moses when the promises were given, the time of David, the time of Isaiah, and these other great men of the Old Testament. And the promises were given concerning the coming of the Messiah. And yet in their day he did not come. They waited and waited for the Messiah to come, for the deliverer from sin to come. But he didn't come. He didn't come. He didn't come. And finally, in God's time, the Lord Jesus came into the world. Now let me just say a few things about the timing of this. First of all, he came into the world under the Roman Empire. And I may be touching about this a little bit later, but I want to note just a couple of things about the Roman captivity. And that is that it was a universal rule of the Romans over the entire civilized world of that day, especially of Asia and of Europe. It was a rule, and it was a universal rule of the Romans over the Jews and every other nation under the sun in that period of time. And so it was a time when the gospel could easily be spread. I'll be talking about this a little bit later, but I just want to call this to your attention. The time was right for the Lord Jesus to come. And God chose that particular period of time so that the gospel would be able to spread through the preaching later of the apostles throughout the entire Roman Empire. They would be able to go to the farthest part of Europe, throughout all of Asia, and to some places even in the north among the uncivilized peoples of that day. And so it was a time that was exactly right. It was also a time of great peace. And it was called the Pax Romana, when there was a time of peace. There were no open warfares. And so for a period of about 35 years after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, the apostles were free. Now they did have persecution from the Jews, but the Romans themselves pretty much left them alone. And so from 30 AD to 65 AD, when the persecution under Nero began against the Christians, these Christians were free to go out to the Roman Empire, throughout the Roman Empire, in fact, and preach the gospel in every place in the Roman Empire. Hundreds of churches were established. The gospel was spread. And even though later the Romans themselves turned against the Christians and bitterly persecuted them, the way was paved for the gospel to go into even other parts of the world in a later period of time. So it was a time of peace. It was a time of prosperity. And even though they were under Roman domination, this Jewish nation, even though they were under Roman domination, they had one language. The Greek language was used throughout the Roman Empire, and they were free to go wherever they wanted. And so it was a time that was right for Christ to come and then for the apostles to preach the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And so the timing was absolutely right. Now, this is especially significant because the Roman Empire not only extended over the entire civilized world, but it, just like the people of the world, Jews and Gentiles alike, were ready for the gospel. Now, we put aside, of course, the opposition of the Jewish leaders, but the Jewish people themselves, by the thousands, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was true on the day of Pentecost, and even before chapter 6 of the book of Acts, the number of believers had grown to more than 5,000 believers, and they were still adding daily those who were being saved. This word comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 47, but it was true of that entire period of time. Thousands and thousands of Jews were being saved. And then, of course, the Gentiles were ready to receive the gospel. Now the gospel was given to the entire world. It had mainly been limited. That is, God's dealings with people had mainly been limited to the Jewish nation in the Old Testament. But now the gospel is open to the entire world. Christ died for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so the gospel now could be spread throughout all types of people, all nations of people. And so Jews and Gentiles alike were to be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may study this from the book of Ephesians, and you see this especially Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 33, and going down into chapter 3, in fact. And you see the fact that Jews and Gentiles are now one in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not limited just to the Jews anymore, but now he was open to the entire world. And so this was the right time for Christ to come. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. That was this verse from the book of Galatians. In the fullness of time, when the time was right. Now I want to say again, the people in the Old Testament probably were impatient for him to come in their day, but it was not the right time. God chose the time when the Lord Jesus would come, when he would appear, he would be born, of course, and then some 30 years later, he would begin his public ministry when he was 30 years old. And for 3.5 years, he would minister publicly and finally die on the cross and raise again from the dead for our salvation. How wonderful it is that we understand that the Lord chose this time and that now the gospel has been preached. Jews and Gentiles alike can receive this promised Messiah and they can be saved by him and can walk together with him. I trust as we close this particular message that in your hearts you are turning, or you have turned, to the Lord Jesus as your means of salvation, and that in your hearts you trust him as your Savior, and you're walking very closely with him. May the Lord bless you, each one.